As someone who's been visiting the Hudson Valley since the 1960s, and religiously since the late 70s when my grandparents passed away, and I assume management of the house where we live today, here's a small insight from an old-timer. When it comes to nature, no two seasons are alike. This might not sound like especially profound news, but I'm not a farmer. I come at this as a city person. And as a city person, I used to break down the seasons this way. Summer, hot. Autumn, leaves fall off trees and it gets cold. Winter, colder still plus the white stuff. Spring, warmth, buds, flowers, leaves, beauty. If I sound prejudiced towards spring, that's because I am. I actually have a theory. Your favorite season is the one when your birthday occurs. Mine's June 16th, so I just make the cutoff. But after spending several decades in the country on and off, I've started to appreciate more subtle distinctions. While the seasons still hew to our general conception of them, despite climate change, one year varies from the next, sometimes slightly, other times dramatically. Let's take this spring. And I'm basing these observations on subjective opinion, not empirical evidence. I haven't compared the average temperature or rainfall going back decades. So far, the spring has been pretty cool and rainy, but the trees seem to be blossoming in profusion. That abundance was similar to a recent year. Was it 2, 3, perhaps 4 years ago? I can't remember exactly. My memory isn't great, as you may have gathered, but we have calorie pear trees lining our driveway, and a few years back they were so laden with blossoms that they attracted Baltimore Orioles galore. I counted 10 of them in the high branches at the same time. I decided to repeat the experiment this year, another good year for blossoms, and found 4 of them foraging simultaneously. By comparison, last year there were fewer blossoms and far fewer orioles. If you're not a particular student of science and nature or just academically lazy as I am, you tend to recall these things anecdotally. For me, a pretty good gauge of the warmth of spring and the abundance of sunshine versus rain is how early I get to swim in our pond. I haven't done so yet this spring, but back in 2002, I took my first swim around April 15th, the earliest ever. I recall the occasion because I was upstate researching a story for New York Magazine about a massive cement plant proposed for Hudson, New York. It was defeated after prolonged and strenuous community opposition. There was an April heat wave that year, a succession of days in the mid-90s, so after interviewing opponents and proponents of the plan, I'd come home and take a swim. Our pond's surrounded by towering oaks, and by late spring it typically loses direct sunlight by 4 p.m., so it was a novel experience swimming in full sunshine, surrounded by trees that had yet to bud. Another example, this one from the late 70s or early 80s. There was a gypsy moth invasion around the time of my birthday, so severe it made me sad. You could literally hear them munching on the leaves as they denuded the trees. The other sound you heard was their droppings falling to the ground. I feared they'd destroy the trees forever, their leaves never to return. That Sunday, I was relieved to read a story in the New York Times reporting that the leaves would come back. In fact, they'd experience a second growth by midsummer, and they did. One final example, the October storm of 1987. Well, I really do sound like an old-timer. The earliest snowstorm on record, it dumped 20 inches of snow on October 4th. The damage was extraordinary because the trees were still in full leaf, so the heavy wet snow weighed down on them and caused huge branches and in some cases entire trees to topple. The woods sounded and looked like a war zone. Power was out for days, if not weeks. Our driveway was impassable, and to this day, particular trees continue to display, if subtly, the ravages of that event. They're shaped slightly differently than they would have been if the storm hadn't occurred. Perhaps shorter, their crowns flatter, the spaces between branches more pronounced. Of course, it's been over 30 years. A casual observer would never notice the difference. Insects are another species, or is it phylum, that seems to wax and wane. Mosquitoes and ticks, though they always seem entirely more prolific and successful than necessary, but also bees, wasps, stink bugs, ladybugs, Japanese beetles. This spring I found a bunch of large brown beetles in our pool filter. Yes, yuck, even while I love all creatures great and small. A few years ago it was a centipede invasion. We also have aggressive, woolly, bumblebee-like creatures on our sun deck, though they only seem aggressive towards each other. The first time I noticed them, they intimidated me, but now I sit there happily sipping my vodka on the rocks while munching on nuts as they strafe each other. And the best part is I know, at least I think, they'll be gone within a couple of weeks, because they always are.